Hello, welcome to another episode of Uncomfortable Truths. I am your guest host, Marlon Randolph, licensed social worker. And today I will be joined by the amazing Patricia Coloco. She's an entrepreneur, independent insurance agent. Amongst many things, she's a mother, she's a wife, and she's just an overall amazing person. And today's episode, Life After Death, the importance of life insurance. Welcome, Patricia. How are you?
Well, thank you. That is one introduction. I love it. I love it. I love it. It made me feel a little special inside. So thank you so much, Marlon. I'm doing well.
I'll send you my bill if you want to, you know, buy it.
You know, the way my checking and savings is set up, you know. No, I'm going to be serious. Okay, I'll take that bill.
Okay, so today's episode, we're talking about life after death, the importance of life insurance, and just the uncomfortable nature around it. So before we really get into it, tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Well, the reason why I got into this industry was I was passionate about explaining and educating the importance of financial literacy and life insurance. There's several myths that, you know, middle Americans believe is true about life insurance that is not quite the case, right? Myth number one, life insurance is just for passing, right? Final expense. So there are cases where you pass the plate and get an extra offering at church. You make fried chicken dinners, you do car washes, GoFundMe accounts to pay for life insurance. Then it's not always about final expense. In fact, with life insurance, you could use it while you're living. So that's one important thing that people don't realize.
Hold up. You're going too fast. We're going to get into all of that. But I just wanted the people to know a little bit more about you personally, far as like some of the things you're passionate about and some of the endeavors that you're actively engaged in.
Oh, okay. I gave you too much too fast. I'm sorry about that. So
too quick.
So one of the things that I am passionate about is helping others. Mm-hmm. It stems back from, you know, growing up and not being knowledgeable myself. And when you get something, you want to share it with others, right? And by me being in the financial industry, it allows me to make money to go out and give to the homeless. So I have homeless projects. I donate to different charities, schools, and I'm just in a better position to create life experiences. That's what I'm about. Okay. I tell you all the time, I will pass up a pair of red bottoms in order to take my mom to a fabulous vacation or to experience a dining experience that no one's ever did. So I'm all about living in the moment and enjoying it as the time goes by.
So now let's get into the meat and potatoes of this topic. So I'll start with this. A lot of people aren't very familiar with life insurance and the importance of it. Mm-hmm. Now, given myself, I have some experience with it, given I do a lot of grief and trauma therapy with a hospice company. So just let's start off with, why is it important to have life insurance?
So life insurance covers several different things. I always use the acronym DIME: debt, income, mortgage, and education. For instance, have you ever encountered someone, a loved one, that found out they had cancer and maybe had a year or 2 years to live? You know, how would they live their final years of life? They would go to the hospital, seek treatment, rack up bills, or sometimes they wouldn't be able to afford that treatment. So life insurance could allow you to get the treatment, to live out your last years, give you a little bit of peace of mind because you'll be able to access that money and use it. Life insurance isn't just about death. You can also utilize it to leave a legacy. To me, a legacy is very important because that's how the rich get richer. They have cash value life plans where they can access the money use it to start a new business, use it to have some liquid cash available to them, you know, if the policy matures enough, to build on a legacy, to create something to have later on throughout life. Life insurance is one of those tools that no one knows about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so take me through, just walk me through the conversation that you would have, you know, say you have a meeting with the family in reference to life insurance. They're not very familiar with it, and you're speaking a lot of language, but kind of walk me through a conversation you would have with a family who, you know, not savvy or have a real in-depth understanding of the different values and options within life insurance.
Absolutely. So one of the conversations that I have with them is I like to be, you know, neck and neck, face to face, not neck and neck, knee to knee. And what I would ask them is, you know, who would take care of you if you were to get sick? Mm-hmm. How would you pay your bills? What would happen if you were to pass today? How would your bills get paid? Who would pay for your mortgage, right? The average middle American household lives off of two incomes. So what happens if one of the incomes is gone? You know, what would happen to you then? Who would pay for your kids' college if you were to pass away before they graduated high school? Who would cover your hospital debt or your credit card debt if you weren't able to work? So I would take them to that place so they can understand the importance of it, right? A confused mind never enrolls. So if you're uncertain about why life insurance is important, it makes sense to paint a picture of what would happen if they were to pass away, or if someone was to get sick, or if their loved one was to go. You know, there's some families that, especially now during the pandemic, where they are operating off of one person in the household. What happens if that one person, an essential worker, got sick and was to pass away? How would their expenses get paid?
Okay. So once you get into that conversation, because now just me sitting here, it's becoming uncomfortable just thinking about all these different things, like what would happen to, you know, my wife, my children, my grandkid, things of that nature. So now that you have this thought process rolling with a potential client, how do you steer them in a direction of insurance options?
Well, first, I will let it sit there and have them think about it, like how you're thinking about it. And then I would say, you know, there is a solution. There are plans that cover you if you were to get sick. That'll give you coverage if you were to die too young, if you were to live too long. If something was to happen along the way and you needed coverage, you know, there are plans available to you. My question to you is, how important is it to protect your family, and when do you want to get started?
Okay, so in response to that, if you say, okay, how do you plan to protect your family? So then my next question would be, okay, well, I hear it. I definitely want to get a policy, but I don't know where to start. Now, I have all these different thoughts in my head at this point, but I know there's whole life, there's term. What are the differences when you're dealing with that part? So what's the difference between whole life insurance and then term life insurance?
Okay, that is a good, valid question. And I have answers for that, right? My main focus is to educate everyone, educate middle America, right? So term is like renting an apartment, right? Most people rent when they get out of college because it's lower in cost and they don't know quite where they want to be. They may want to travel. They may want to move to a different city. It's just the uncertainty, right? However, it's lower in cost, right? So term is for a particular amount of term. You get 10, 15, 20, and 30-year term policy, and it's lower in cost, right? Now, with term, there's no cash value that's built. It just does what it's supposed to do, protect you for 10 years, for 15 years, for 20, or for 30 years. And during that process, you know, you have peace of mind because it's protecting you, right?
Okay.
Certain term policies have living benefits where you could use up to 90% of the policy value to care for yourself if you were to have terminal illness, chronic or critical illness, or critical injury. Those are all particular terms. Again, those are the lower cost alternatives. Then you have permanent life, which is has your whole lives, your IULs, your VULs.
Again, hold up. So just imagine, just take this moment as you're speaking to someone who's not very engaged. So when you say the IULs and the DUIs and the CP3s and the YCPs, you got to break that down.
No, I'm joking. I really keep it simple. It's just term and perm, right? When I talk to my clients, I talk about term and permanent, right? I'm going to a little bit more details just in case you have some listeners that understand life insurance. And so they'll understand what an IUL and a VUL and all of that. But it's basically two types, term and perm, for permanent, right? The permanent policy means they last the duration of your life. And they build cash value. And they're more expensive, right? Okay. So permanent policies is like purchasing a home. When you purchase a home, you have to have, you know, good credit, which is kind of like good health. You have to have a down payment. You have to, you know, pay for it for 30 years and you have to pay taxes. So just imagine purchasing a home and mixing in your taxes, your impound and all of that. It may cost more than renting an apartment. However, permanent policies are a lot cheaper than term. Because what happens when you're doing term? After the 10 years, you have to renew it. Well, guess what? You're older. So it's going to cost a little bit more. After another 20 years, you got to renew it. You're older again. You may have health problems. So it's going to cost a little bit more. With a permanent policy, when you purchase it, that's it. It may cost a little bit more. However, if you set it up correctly and if it's funded correctly, you could pay for 30 years and you'll have it for the rest of your life. The average American now is living in well into their 80s and 90s. So do you think a 30-year term would cover the duration of their life? Most likely not.
Okay, so let's get into the whole life. And you said there are certain plans and policies where if you lose your job or if you get into an accident, you can actually take from that policy. Kind of speak to that a little bit.
So permanent policies build cash value. With the cash value, once it builds up, you can do whatever you want with it. It is tax-free, meaning you're not tied to IRS regulations because you already paid your taxes. You did your due diligence, right? So the money that goes into policy is yours. So say you wanted to retire early and you started your whole life policy or your permanent policy at a young age, but you don't meet the requirements of the age limit for a 401k, right? But you want to retire at 55. You say, you know what? I had enough of this. And you look over at your cash value life insurance policy and you have enough cash value where you could keep afloat until your retirement age. Well, that's one of the things that you can utilize it for. Or say you started a whole life policy and you wanted to create your own business. You have years of experience working for someone else. And now 10 years down the line, you look in your policy and you're like, wow, I have 20, 30,000 in there. I'm going to start my own business. You could simply pull the money out. You don't have to worry about penalties with the IRS, right? Because you had your policy for a allotted amount of time. Mm-hmm. And you could utilize that to start a business. I actually started a plan for my son as a college saving plan. And what I plan on doing with his policy is, you know, he's smart. So I'm like, okay, you're going to get these scholarships. And once you get to college, I want you to buy a set of apartments or buy a home, rent it out, right? Start planning your legacy within your college age. And then you don't have to worry about well, when I get out of college, I'm going to have debt, or what am I going to do to live, or how am I going to support myself? Because you're already doing so by utilizing the money that I set aside when you were
okay. Younger. So getting into that, because now you're getting into that aspect of generational wealth and creating that wealth. So when you say your mm-hmm. policy has a cash value, or it creates a cash value over time, not just like you mm-hmm. get the policy in what we're in November, you get the policy in November, and do you have a cash value at January? Like, that's not the case, right?
No, absolutely not. I don't think anything works that quick.
Hey, so hey, we are living in a microwave age. So the expectation for some may be for it to happen that quickly.
Well, in my opinion, if it's too fast, it won't last.
Allegedly. That's all alleged.
like, I'm not going to go where I want to go.
I'm just saying. So when you get into the nature of beginning to create the aspect of generational wealth, like you said, with mm-hmm. your son, and there's a cash value. So just generally speaking, you don't have to give it any specifics, because I know you don't want to give mm-hmm. away too many of your little secrets. But generally, what's the cash value percentage, let's say, on a $400,000 policy? What would be the typical cash value growth over, say, a year?
So it all depends on how the policy is structured. Now, if you're wanting to know what the interest rate would be on the typical policy, mm-hmm. it ranges anywhere between 2.5 to 10%, right? Because mm-hmm. I deal with a lot of index policies. And so what that means is if the stock is crashing and it's horrible and it's not doing anything, you're still able to get 2.5. That's like the lowest, right? Okay. With it doing well, and these are some policies again, with the market doing well, I've seen about 12 to 12.5, right? It's all about how the index is doing. Now, that's like when you get deeper into specific types of permanent policies.
Right. So for the average person, let's just say in our community, in the Black community, a lot of us don't invest in significant life insurance policies, because there is that thing where our parents and grandparents don't want to talk about life insurance, because, you know, they'll quickly say, "You trying to kill me," or "I'm not about to get this policy so I could die and y'all be rich and be balling," which is a horrible thought process to have. But for the individuals
that's myth number four.
You know, I mean, it happens, right? So I'm just saying, for the individual that's coming from like that type of family dynamic and explaining the value of that policy to them, is it difficult to have that conversation with someone coming from a lower socioeconomic community?
You know, it is difficult. And when I encounter, like, each person is a case-by-case basis. There's not one shoe left. So if there is a person that doesn't understand cash value life insurance, I just simply say, you know what? A term would be a great fit for you, right? Let's concentrate on right now. And as I get to know them and I come back and see them more and more, and I see that they're becoming more and more knowledgeable, then I'll bring in a permanent policy. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just dump it in right away. It's not one of those, oh, I'm just, you know, going to be like Apple and start a company. Sometimes you got to mm-hmm. study, you got to research, and you got to communicate with others that have done it for you to understand how it works. And so if you don't have a great understanding of a permanent policy, and I know mm-hmm. by sitting down with you, communicating with you, seeing where your thought process is and your goals, right? Because goals are important. if I notice that you're not quite there yet, then I call it my starter plan. I'll start you off with a current policy and maybe an annuity, right? Because you don't want to put all of your money in one section. And as our relationship develops, as your knowledge becomes a little bit stronger, and you're like, oh, I get it now. And now I know what you're talking about. Then I'll say, okay, let's graduate you. Let's move you up to something that'll give you a little bit more for the same amount of money. How does that sound?
So it don't sound good, because for the same amount of money, that means you didn't sell me well enough on the whole life. That would just be my opinion. I'd be like, you wasted my money. Because now, so transitioning from a term policy to a whole life. Now, say, for example, I was one of those individuals like, nah, I don't understand this. I don't want any parts of it. Let me just get the minimum. So then later on, I get better and I'm more knowledgeable of the life insurance and how the policy works and things of that nature. And I say, I want to transition to a whole life. So does that term is just completely dead in the water at that point, or is there some type of value there?
So the value is with your health. You can convert it, right? So say when you got the term, you were a lot healthier, you were younger, and you didn't take any medication. And by the time you decided you wanted a permanent policy, well, you found out you had gout or diabetes. Well, we're going to take your health rating from the term.
Okay.
I don't know. I just picked something that old black men get. You look like a gout type.
You got gout. Okay.
So then you can take your health rating and convert it into a permanent policy. So the health portion isn't a complete loss. You know, kind of like rent to own, right? Your landlord already knows that you're good on your word, pay your rent on time, but now you want to purchase this home. So it's, and I know you hate rent to own, but it's like rent to own. Like you're saying, okay, now that I rented this place, I want to own it. So, and to back up on what you said about, well, why didn't you sell me the permanent policy? So in my opinion, it's better to have someone confident in what they get so they won't get it and then drop it a month later because they're not completely confident or they don't understand, right? And so if I was to give you the Cadillac right away and you really couldn't afford the Cadillac, it's kind of like getting your Cadillac repoed after 2 months because you're like, oh man, I said I had it, but when I thought about it, it wasn't a great fit.
Okay. Okay.
So don't be too mad at me.
So let me ask you this. Have you ever got put out somebody's home because you were maybe too assertive or the parents felt you were trying to sell them on a policy that they didn't feel they needed at the time?
Ooh, that's rough. Put out somebody's home. I don't know too many people that have put out homes. Actually, I've been invited to quite a few homes and I do most of my work with people at places of employment, schools, lease offices, and different things. But actually, people love me. I've even been offered wine and dinner, and sometimes inappropriate dinners. However, I never got put out anybody's home.
Professional setting. So you're not going to a lot of homes for appointments?
No. I do visit homes maybe during the summertime or after hours, but it's rare. And when I do, I feel like clients are more comfortable. So those appointments last a lot longer. And next thing you know, you're meeting the children, the husband, and there's additional questions. But again, it's mostly, you know, during the daytime professional setting, and I'm not getting put out anywhere.
Hey, I had to ask. You know, it is uncomfortable truths. Yeah. You may just not want to admit
it. I can assure you
she's put out. She's a great friend of mine, guys, and I've definitely kicked her out of my house before. So don't believe all the hype. So in that, let's.
That was for other reasons I'm not going to mention.
And you're kicked out is kicked out. So What are some of the difficulties when you're attempting to present these plans, aka lifestyle changes, to people? What are some of the hardships you come across?
Clients not understanding their budget or not willing to understand their budget. Again, and I'm going to say this. I will say middle America, but Black people, right? We grew up thinking we had to look a certain part, be a certain part. And in reality, it all comes down to your budget, right?
Okay.
People will budget for things that they understand. And sometimes when they don't understand certain things, they won't make it in their budget. However, they'll have $200 shoes on, you know, the Cadillac in the parking lot, and yet they don't have any coverage to protect them. So what happens to those shoes and the Cadillac in the nice house if they were to have an untimely death? I mean, this year alone, I've encountered several people that I know or that I know of a friend that knows that have died from COVID, a virus. They have passed away. And they probably didn't have anything set up because they didn't expect to pass away. We're talking about 45-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds,
right.
People that are still young and they're passing away. And so because they didn't take the time to sit down and gain the knowledge,
right.
Their loved ones are left with hospital bills or are left with trying to figure out how to pay the mortgage because it took two people to pay the mortgage. They're figuring out how to bury their loved ones or how to move on. Or what if that was the person that owned the business and the primary business owner and caregiver? Now their business is failing and the bills aren't getting paid. So, I mean, I wish I could just shine a light on what I see throughout all my clients to the ones that are saying, oh, I don't have time, you know, holler at me in two more weeks or, well, I can't afford it right now. If you can't afford it now, what do you think you're going to be able to afford in the future? It's all about how you start, not how you finish.
Right. But you still haven't answered the question. What are some of the...
I thought I did.
No,
that is a difficulty.
What are some of the difficulties that you personally experience when you're attempting to make
it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart when no one sees the value in life insurance. That's my personal battle because I see it. I see it all around. And when you have individuals that don't quite get it, it is a little painful because then you're going to get a phone call later asking for a donation. You're going to get a phone call or a Facebook message with a GoFundMe link. That hurts. It's not about me. I know how to, you know, manage my household. I'm caring about every individual that didn't really listen, that didn't really take the time to educate themselves, or the ones that you know said, you know, I can't afford it right now. Just start. So that's my challenge.
So you're uncomfortable. You're what makes you, and I just want to correct me if I'm wrong, but what makes you uncomfortable is just the fact that you see the potential of, well, let me rephrase that. You see the value in having life insurance. And when you meet with a family or individual who does not see the value, that's one of your more difficult ways of dealing with it, kind of in the realm of caring for others through providing service.
Yes.
If that makes sense. Okay. So
you
how
said it with a lot less words.
So how do you cope with that though?
I have certain quotes that I say to myself.
Care to share?
Gosh. Now you're getting like deep into it.
You don't know about this side.
So certain quotes that I say on a regular basis And one of them is, it's a no, not now, but not forever, right? So it's like, if you hear a no, it's just no, but it just means not now, but not forever. Like, eventually they'll come around and they'll say, you know what, you're right. And I have several clients like that, that I sat with one time, two times, sometimes even three, and they'll say no, right? But it doesn't mean forever. And when they finally get it, they come around and they're my best client yet, because they'll say, you know what, I'm glad you were patient with me. Here, meet my friend, you know. Patricia Coloco will take care of you. She really knows how to explain things, and she's patient. She's patient, so meet with her, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. No doesn't mean forever. It's just not now, you know, but okay. It's not forever. And so I recite that. Or another quote that I use is, persist until you succeed. So meaning keep going at it until you're successful. And I use that a lot in the beginning of my career, because we're talking about someone that looked young, and I was intimidated at how I looked young. And really, I was knowledgeable, and I wasn't confident in my knowledge in the beginning. You can't tell me anything. But in the beginning, I was just like, well, I'm young. You're not going to believe me. And so I would always say, persist until you succeed. So I would keep working at it until I find my level of success. Now, each year, my level of success changes. However, I'm persistent with going after it and, you know, making sure that everyone that I come in contact with has the knowledge and has the success they need to be, you know, abundant with life. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, Black Americans are kind of left behind because we're not knowledgeable like some of the others, right? If you think about it, one time I looked at Forbes richest women, you know how most of those women were rich? Their parents passed away and left a legacy. They did not do one business that created their wealth. Their parents left them their wealth, and then they created something. Right?
Okay, so let's dive into that. So one thing that a lot of people of the recently, a lot of people have been talking about how life insurance policies can garner and start the process of generational wealth. How can a life insurance policy create generational wealth?
Well, again, you utilize the cash value, or you have a sum of money that you did not have, and you could create different streams of income. It's all about setting it up. You know, if I was to go today, my family would get a little over $1 million, right? They could sit back and blow it, or they could use the tools that I've been hammering into their head and start opening up businesses, start putting away monies into different avenues that'll yield income. So that's how you create generational wealth. You can't create generational wealth by leaving your loved ones a jewelry box full of costume jewelry. And I'm just being real. Mm-hmm. Or some shoes, or maybe a fancy ball gown.
So how do you use that as a selling point? Like, how do you use creating generational wealth as a selling point? Because again, we know that there's a cash value, and it can go anywhere from between 2.5 to 12.5% based on the market. Mm-hmm. I understand that, but how do you sell that? Here's your ability and opportunity to set not only your loved one up, but your child up for future success. How do you pitch that to an individual or a family?
You just give them examples. Example number one, Walt Disney.
Say again?
Walt Disney. He used a permanent policy to create Disney World. Example number two, JCPenney. A lot of people, I mean,
going out of business, cuz.
they're going out of business now. The JCPenney was around for the Great Depression, which a lot of businesses failed, and he kept afloat because he had a life insurance policy. Let me think of another one. Let's see. McDonald's. Are they going out of business, Marlon? But McDonald's used a, McDonald's used a permanent policy to fund the cash value because guess what? I know you saw the founder, right? Banks stopped giving him money. So where do you think he got that money from to keep afloat? And for the first few years, McDonald's didn't, or the founder did not receive income from McDonald's because he was starting the business and it wasn't creating enough revenue. So he lived off of his cash and life insurance. So those are great examples of generational wealth, even though you don't like JCPenney. But think about it. They've been around since the Great Depression.
No, but just in reference to McDonald's, I didn't see the movie, so I couldn't quite catch that reference, but I get what you're going at with it. So in selling that policy, so say, for example, mm-hmm. I say, hey, Patricia, I need like a $500,000 policy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read all the paperwork later. Just tell me what's my monthly rate. Would you just tell me my monthly rate, send me the paperwork, or would you still attempt to break that down in a way to where I fully understand what I'm purchasing?
I would love for you to fully understand what you purchase. I'm not, I say this all the time, easy isn't stable or it's not. So there is no one size fit all, right? Every life insurance policy is based off of your health, your age, right? And your risk level. So you have to be healthy. And unfortunately, male and females. Females are a lot cheaper than males. So
why is that? Get into that. So why are females cheaper?
We go to the doctors more. We're lower risk. We tend to be safer than males. So this is just all across the board. Insurance, they call it a mortality rate table, and females are less expensive. We're not hot-headed. It's true.
I'm you're not even about to set me up for that. I'm not, no. No. So
we are cheaper.
When you know better,
and we exercise.
When you know better, you do better. I'm not about to get engaged in that with you today. Not going to happen. So now that we've talked about some of the specifics and details in life insurance, the values, the benefits of whole versus term, let's just get into personally, how is it going for you right now? We're in the midst of a pandemic. Some would think life insurance policies are booming because we know funeral home service is out the wazoo right now. So how has business been for you as we currently matriculate through this pandemic?
Oh, Marlon, you're getting in my pocket now.
See, all I ask is, okay, so let me rephrase the question. How has COVID affected your ability to go out and meet with your clients and potential insurers?
Okay, so we are in a pandemic. I don't physically go out and meet with them. However, there's always a however. I'm fully capable of meeting with them face-to-face, referrals. I have a large client base, so I reach out to them on a regular basis. Actually, quite a few of my clients will be getting Thanksgiving greetings. And so I'm constantly busy. Now I have the ability to turn it up a notch and turn it down a notch. COVID hasn't really affected me the way it has affected others. And then when we go into the monetary aspects, I am still getting paid off of my efforts that I've done over the past few years. Because okay. in the insurance industry, there is residual income. So meaning as long as they have a policy, I will still get paid. So right. it hasn't quite taken a toll like it has others. Okay. How do I explain it? It's you heard of the eight stream of incomes, right? There's earned income. I am collecting income. So my residual income and the income from my team is all coming in, and I'm in a position to be blessed enough where I can step away and care for my family and still get paid.
Okay. Gotcha. And just to get a little bit into you, Patricia Colloco, as not only the insurance specialist, but also the entrepreneur. So just talk mm-hmm. to us a little bit about some of those endeavors that you're engaged with outside of the insurance.
So I highly, highly encourage anyone and everyone, once you... Okay, I'm going to give some books. Can I give some books on this? Some sure. book recommendations?
I know what you're going to say, but okay. go ahead.
So a few books that it's like a holy Bible to being a great entrepreneur. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? I even have my son reading the teenage version. Know that's how you have financial balance, right? Those are just two. If you want to get into leadership books, I have several of those. You know, you can email me later and I will share my library of books. However, those are good, solid foundations for becoming an entrepreneur. And it's always important to have your earned income, things that you go out and you get a paycheck for, and then you create your passive income, right? You know, keep your ears open for investment options where it sounds like a good fit. You can invest some money and then get money back. If you think about it, banks will charge you 8% for a personal loan, and they will loan you out maybe $10,000, $20,000 and charge you 8%. And you have to pay that back within a certain amount of time.
Right.
So what if you were to loan out the same amount of money as a bank did, but yet you don't have to go through a whole lot of loops to get the money, and someone pays you 8%.
Okay.
Not a bad investment, right? You are personally getting that 8%. If you think about, here's another payday loans. Payday loan. They loan you $5,000, $10,000, and yet they charge you 12%. They're not even a bank. What if you loan somebody that same amount of money and say, hey, I'll do better than a payday loan. You just give me 5% on this money. Are you winning?
I'm not loaning anybody nothing.
Well, of course, it's not just loaning them. You don't give Uncle Tom it. I mean, you come up with contracts and different things. You're not just handing over some money. We're talking about a professional level, right? It's just a concept, right? If you put your money in a bank in a savings account, they don't even give you 1%. But yet you have all that money in the savings account and you're not even getting 1%, right? Mm. So, I mean, keep your eyes, your ears open and your eyes open for different investment options. Residual income, that is real. I didn't realize how important it was until I actually had to take a step back and focus on, you know, my children. And I'm still getting paychecks every week for the efforts that I did.
Okay. So given that you are a life insurance agent and I'm sorry, life insurance specialist. Given that you are an insurance specialist, for someone you mentioned earlier, if you wanted to start a business and you had a whole life policy, and let's say I had a $400,000 policy, I've had it for 10 years, and just say my cash value is 20 grand, and I pulled the whole 20 grand, right? Mm-hmm. But let's say some unforeseen instance, and I die 3 weeks after I take this 20 grand out, is the policy value still at 400,000, although I pulled 20K from it?
It's 20K less.
So at that point, yeah, 380.
Yeah. Now,
would that value go back up as the policy is continue being paid on?
Yes. And there's different ways of structuring it. And so that's a little bit more detail. If you were leveled and you had $20,000 and a $400,000, and see, that's why I just didn't want to get into it. But there's some structures where you'll have $20,000 on top of the $400,000. You take the $20,000, you still have $400,000. That's a different structure of how the life policy is made. And then there's some structures where you're not quite, you know, you're leveled. So it's a negative, right? However, you still have your policy in place. You take out the cash value and you'll still have enough money to bury you. Even if you took out lifetime income and you live to age 80 and depleted all your cash value, you still have a base to bury you with, right? And so that's all about structuring it a certain way. Now, if nothing happens to you and you continue to live, as long as you pay your premiums, well, guess what? That cash value goes back up. And say later on down the line, you took out that $20,000, you paid that $20,000 back through premiums, and you decided, you know what? I want to take a stream of income. You can do that. And again, you'll take the income for the rest of your life. Or you can take big chunks at a time. That's what I love about life insurance. It's so flexible. It kind of works with your life, right? No one's life is set in stone. So you're not going to plan on that. No one plans on dying. You don't plan on not, you know, losing your job and not being able to pay your premium. So I love how flexible it could be as far as how you fund it. You could put a lot in. You could reduce it. You could live a long time and not need it and have a whole lot of cash. Or you can say, you know what? I found out I have cancer. Let me try this treatment up in Switzerland and see if it works. And I have the money to do so. So that's the thing that a lot of people have this misconception about. They think, well, if I get it, I have to die to use it. It does a lot more than what you think.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything that that I missed in reference to life insurance? I want to feel like I covered like the main questions that's around life insurance, but I'm not sure. So I'm asking, is there anything that you would like to add to it?
You know, I do. For business owners, say you already have your business. You don't need life insurance to start a business.
Mm-hmm.
Key man policies. Key man policies are important. Some people will say, well, I have personal life insurance. I'm good. You should have coverage for your business and coverage for your personal life, right? Okay. And the reason being is your business is your business. If you have a business partner, you guys do things within that business. You have employees, you have staff, you have different things that you're obligated with. And if something was to happen, well, say you had a personal policy and you were to pass away, your business would fail, right? Because it doesn't have the funds needed. Or say you have a key man policy and not a personal policy and something was to happen. Well, your business will be taken care of, but your personal life would fail. And so it's important to...
So break down the key man policy. What is that?
So a key man policy is designed for partnerships, right? Say me and you decided to own and operate a store that had products and goods and employees, an academy, right? Say we decided to open up an academy together, a partnership.
Okay.
And I was to pass away, right?
Okay.
You needed your partner to help run that academy. You needed me, say I was managing the academy and you were a silent partner and now I'm gone. You have to replace me. You still have employees. You still have lease obligations, you have other things in place that needs to be covered. However, I'm gone, but on an untimely death. And now, instead of you mourning from your partner being gone, you have to hustle and find people to put in place to keep that business afloat. And so,
a keyword policy is basically a life insurance policy that you can take out on a business or your business partner.
Absolutely.
So the key man policy, like, so say, for example, I was an independent, say I owned my own store, right? Mm-hmm. And I pass away. The key man policy would go to who then?
Whoever your beneficiary is. You can have your partner as your beneficiary, or you can have your spouse. As long as it's not taken away from your spouse's income, right? Because ultimately, if you just have one personal policy, you're trying to stretch that personal policy far beyond what it can do.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, you got to think about your debt, your mortgage, your education, and your income,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, if you only factored in your personal life, and then you started this business, well, you don't have enough to cover that business.
Okay. So, question. So can you purchase a policy that's specifically for your mortgage?
Yes, you can.
And what is that called? So how would one purchase a policy if they wanted a policy specifically to cover, you know, say you have your personal policy, but then you want a policy that specifically covers your mortgage. Is that something under your full policy, or would that be something separate?
A lot of people like to keep it separate.
Okay.
I would suggest, you know, there's no crime in having two policies. I have about three. And so it's called mortgage protection. And mortgage protection is more or less a term policy, right? Your mortgage is either 15 years, 20 years, or 30 years, right? And mm-hmm. so you get a term policy to cover only your mortgage amount, and it protects it. And if something was to happen to you, your mortgage is paid off. Or you could get a bigger policy and cover all of that. It all depends on each person's preference. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, well, since I have a personal policy that builds cash value, why not get the bigger policy? And some people say, well, you know what? I want my mortgage to be separate and I want my personal to be separate. And you can completely do that. Each person is an individual and they have their own preference, and each policy is built for them. There's no one size fit all.
Gotcha. So, follow-up question. Would it necessarily make sense to get a term policy given once the policy terms, there's no value? So say I have a 20-year mortgage and I get a 20-year term, mm-hmm. and after 20 years and I'm still alive and I've completely fulfilled my mortgage obligation, what then happens to that 20-year term policy?
That's it. You fulfilled it. It did what it was supposed to do. It covered you for that 20-year term.
So there's no value there once that 20-year term is complete?
No. Kind of like car insurance. Think about it. When you get car insurance for your car, you don't have any car accidents. And, well, it covered you.
But you, have car,
you didn't have any car accidents.
But I look at car insurance a little bit differently, because even once you fully pay for your vehicle, you still own it. So you're not going to drop your car insurance policy. You know what I mean? I'm just looking at it kind of from that perspective.
Well, you could reduce your car insurance. I mean, I could go in on and on about how to save money on insurance. You can reduce your car insurance so you don't have to have the same coverage. You own your car. However, the insurance you don't own. You have to keep renewing your insurance if you want to get covered. And if you don't use it, meaning you don't get a car accident,
right?
That's it. You don't use it.
Okay. I got you. What else would you like to add to this, these uncomfortable truths about life insurance, because now I feel like I need to go do like a plethora of research in several different ways.
Research? I have you confused?
Definitely.
I don't want you to be confused.
Well, for me personally, I would say that I just like to read up on stuff that I'm investing in. So for me personally, it's just more about life insurance. It's layered, right? So given that it's layered, I definitely want to get at least to the third or fourth layer of understanding with it, is what I mean by that.
So what are some of the things that you...
Go ahead.
What are some of the things that you're uncertain about?
Well, I wouldn't say there's anything in particular outside of me knowing all of the details of what I'm signing up for. Like how you explained the differences between the whole and the term, and the whole, there's more value in it because there's cash value. There's different things that you can do with it. There's different ways to manipulate that one versus the term, where you're so limited. Like once, if it's a 10-year term, it's a 10-year term. After the 10 years, that's it. You know, you pay these 10 years, nothing happened. We got our money. You still here? Good. So that's what I mean. As far as the differences in between the two, I definitely want to do more research and understanding everything that a whole life provides outside of what I initially assumed, is what I mean by that. Gotcha. So what else would you like to add to this, Mrs. Patricia Coloco, entrepreneur, mother of the year, wife of the year, allegedly, insurance.
I am the wife of the year.
Well, anyway, so tell the people where they can find you. How can we get in contact with Patricia Coloco, insurance specialist?
So there are several ways. You can call me, or you can email me at pcoloco@appreciationfinancial.com. You can call me on my cell, which is 310-803-0874. You can also text me. You can reach me on Instagram at @no_mediocrewoman. There's several different ways. One of the things that I would like to share, because sharing is caring, I'm not going to be a secret agent. If someone is out there that is interested in building residual income, having, you know, freedom, right, to pretty much see clients at home without going out there during a pandemic, or being able to take control of your home, I mean, your life, your well-being, to create a lifestyle that is different than your average 8 to 5, clocking in, clocking out. I'm always looking for good people to hire to join my team and to create a different experience, a different lifestyle. Again, I'm looking for people that are hardworking, that enjoy teaching other people, that are enthusiastic, that is great with sales, that just love people. I like people that love people. People like me, right? And so if you're looking for a lifestyle change or career change, definitely contact me. It's just life insurance. It's no tricks to it. You're not getting kicked out of homes. That was hilarious. You're not getting kicked out. No one's asking you to leave. Especially in Texas, they wouldn't invite you to your home if they planned on kicking you out, first of all. And so this is a career that has really changed my life and my lifestyle and the way I do things and view things. And it may be a great fit for other people around. So definitely contact me, or contact me if you want to know a little bit more about life insurance and want to start up something. I'm contracted with several different carriers. Again, it's not a one size fit all. So maybe, you know, one of the carriers that I'm contracted with, you may not like. However, I have about 14 others to choose from. So just, you know, call me.
All right. So, and there you have it, good people. like to thank Patricia Coloco for joining us on Uncomfortable Truths. It's truly a pleasure and honor to hear from you and to kind of pick your brain about what's going on in a world of a life insurance specialist and pretty much a better understanding. So I definitely believe that this will service a lot of great people. Guys, you know where to find Miss Patricia Coloco. She gave you all of her links. Thank you for tuning in. Peace and love.